Okay, nice to see you all. I don't know if you remember the story so far, but we are in the desert. The Israelites have been freed from Egypt. Last week, we saw how they were infested by snakes after moaning and grumbling against God, and how Moses had to make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole so that if you were bitten by one of the poisonous snakes, you looked up at the pole and you would live. And we saw how that was a picture of how we can look up at Jesus who died on the cross and trust in him, and that we then can live forever with God in heaven. So this week, our story begins back in the desert. I don't know if you remember that the Israelites were told that they would have to live in the desert for 40 years before they could enter the promised land. Well, those 40 years are just about to end, and the Israelites are on their way to the edge of the promised land. So it was really exciting. But on their way, they had to pass through the land of their enemies. And so they asked for safe passage. Please let us through. We won't fight you. We just want to get to the promised land. And their enemy said no. And so there were battles and they fought, but God was with them and they defeated all of their enemies. So our true story from the Bible starts when they've reached the edge of the promised land. They're camped by the River Jordan in a place called Moab. So Dave's going to run the story now.
Balak was the king of Moab. He had heard all about the Israelites and how they defeated their enemies in the surrounding lands, and now they were camped in his fields. He was scared. "They're too powerful for me," he said. And so he hatched a cunning plan. Instead of fighting the Israelites, he decided that he would put a curse on them so that they couldn't overpower him. He sent some of the country's leaders to a powerful sorcerer named Balaam. They took lots of money with them to pay him. King Balak's message said, "Come and put a curse on these Israelites so that they won't be able to defeat me and I can chase them off my land. I know that you are a powerful sorcerer, and if you curse them, they will be cursed, and if you bless them, they will be blessed."
So we're just going to pause the story briefly to set the scene. The battle lines are drawn. On the one side, we've got the powerful sorcerer, Balaam. If he curses you, you're going to be cursed. And if he blesses you, you will be blessed. On the other side, we've got the powerful God of the Israelites. Can he beat sorcerer Balaam and save the Israelites? In the middle, the Israelites are camped, and they've got no idea what's going on. They don't know anyone's plotting against them. They're just camped by the river, waiting for God's instructions about how to enter the promised land. So let's go back to the story and see what happens next.
Balaam the sorcerer prayed to God and asked what he should do. God answered, "Do not go with the king's servants. Don't put a curse on the Israelites, for I have blessed them." So Balaam sent the king's servants away. Well, King Balak wasn't too pleased about that, so he sent even more important people, princes, not just leaders, with more money to persuade sorcerer Balaam to come. This time, God said that Balaam could return with the servants to the king, but he must only say what God instructed him to say.
Okay, another brief pause to reflect on what's happening. So I just want to think for a minute, what do we think of Balaam? Do we think he's a good man? If so, thumbs up. Do we think he's a bad man? Thumbs down. Not sure. Thumbs in the middle. Give me some kind of indication. Yes. Quite a mixture. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Not sure. It's a bit tricky to tell at this point, isn't it? I mean, he's prayed to God. That seems like a good thing. God's told him what to do and he's obeyed God. That also seems like quite a good thing. But children, you might remember we looked quite a few times at the verse that says, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And God could see Sorcerer Balaam's heart, and it was a greedy and sinful heart. And we find out later that really he's after the money that the king's going to offer him to curse the Israelites. He just wants to get rich and he doesn't care about the Israelites. So as we go back to the story, the Israelites are in even more danger. Balaam might look like he's praying to God, but he doesn't care about them. So can God protect them and will he save them? Let's see what happens.
Balaam got on his donkey and set off with the servants to see the king. God was angry with Balaam, and so he sent the angel of the Lord to stop him. The angel of the Lord appeared on the road right in front of Balaam's donkey. He was carrying a drawn sword ready to fight. And so the donkey quickly left the road and went onto the field nearby to avoid him. Balaam couldn't see the angel, and so he hit his poor donkey to force her back onto the road. A bit further on, the path got narrow and there was a wall on either side. The angel of the Lord appeared again in front of the donkey. The donkey pushed herself up against the wall to avoid the angel and squashed Balaam's foot. Well, Balaam wasn't happy about that and he hit her again. Poor donkey. And Balaam still couldn't see the angel of the Lord. Then the angel moved ahead to a place where the path was so narrow the donkey couldn't get past. The path was completely blocked. Well, the donkey just sat down on the path and Balaam was furious. He hit his poor donkey again, and you'll never guess what happened next. God opened the donkey's mouth and she spoke to Balaam. "What have I done to you to make you hit me three times?" she asked. Balaam replied, "You've made me look like an idiot in front of these princes. If I had a sword, I'd kill you." "But I am your faithful donkey, whom you have ridden for many years. Have I ever behaved like this before?" she said. "No," said Balaam. And then God opened his eyes, and at last he could see the angel of the Lord standing with his sword in his hand, ready for battle. He got off the donkey and fell face down on the ground. The angel of the Lord said, "Why have you beaten your poor donkey? She saw me and turned around. It's lucky for you that she did, because otherwise I would have killed you with my sword, but I would have let her go." Balaam replied, "I'm so sorry, I didn't know you were there. If I'd seen you, I would have turned around and gone back home." And the angel said, "Carry on with the princes to see the king, but only say the words I tell you." So Balaam carried on travelling with the princes all the way to see the king. When he got there, King Balak took him up a hill. From the top, they could see some of the many Israelite people camped below. Balaam offered sacrifices to God and asked God what he should tell the king. God told him what to say to the king. "You brought me here to put a curse on God's people, the Israelites, to wish evil on them. But God has not cursed them, so I cannot curse them. The Lord has not wished evil on them, so I cannot wish evil on them. God's people stand out from all the other nations. They're different. And see how many of them there are. Too many to count. I wish I could be like them." King Balak replied, "What have you done to me? I brought you here to curse God's people, but you have blessed them." But Balaam answered, "I must say only what the Lord tells me to say." Well, two more times the king tried to get Balaam to curse the Israelites, but God made Balaam bless them instead. Wow, what a turnaround! No one is more powerful than God.
Well, that was a truly amazing story. Did you know that there was a talking donkey in the Bible? Listen to this verse that I'm going to read you from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a book in the Old Testament, and it was written by Moses. He was writing to the Israelites, and he's talking about King Balak and the people from Moab. He says, "They hired Balaam to put a curse on you." That's the Israelites. "However, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. He turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you." Let me read that end bit again. "He turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you." So I've got two questions for us this morning. First one's for the children. Children, what did God do for the Israelites in this story without them even knowing? You might want to unmute and shout out. What did God do for the Israelites without them even knowing? Melody says, "Bless them." Brilliant. Anything else?
There was also "bless them" from these two.
Ah, brilliant. Thank you. Bless them. He did. He blessed them. He was much more powerful than Sorcerer Balaam, wasn't he? He saved them from the curse. He was fighting for them, even though they didn't know it. God's plan was that they would get to the promised land, and nothing was going to stop God's plan. Did you know that God is on our side too, and that he has a plan for us, for each one of us? Nothing we face, not the coronavirus, not homeschooling, not even the Prime Minister, can stop God's plans. God is looking after us. He does love us, and he is fighting for us. And one day he will bring us safely home to be with Jesus in heaven. So here's my second question. This is for everyone. So be brave, adults, and unmute and shout out, or type into the chat if you like. How will knowing that God has a plan for us, that he loves us, and that he's fighting for us, make a difference to us this week? How will knowing that God has a plan for us, that he loves us, and that he's fighting for us, help us this week?
I don't know.
Any thoughts? Go on, June.
Peace, joy, security.
Brilliant. Yeah, there is a sense of peace, isn't there, that God's in charge, and then that brings safety and security, and then we can rejoice. Thank you. Bridget, hang on, let me see what Bridget put in the chat. It will mean we can trust him in difficult times. And Melody said peace too. Yeah, thank you. That's really helpful. It definitely helps me in difficult times to think, actually, despite what I'm going through, God is in charge. He hasn't forgotten me. He loves me. He's remembered me, he's hearing my prayers, and he's in control. And nothing is happening to me that he's not in control of. And that brings such comfort and peace. So perhaps we can remember that as we go into this week. And God showed us his love for us in sending Jesus. So if we're trusting in him and we're following him as our king, we can be absolutely 100% sure that God will one day take us to live with him in heaven. Nothing can stop God's plans.
Great. Thank you so much, Katie. I hope the rest of you enjoyed rocking out, as well as the woolly knitted characters that we enjoyed. That's brilliant storytelling. We're going to delve deeper into this. We're going to have our reading from Julia from Galatians, and then Ian is going to preach for us. So please unmute when you need to.
Morning, everybody. The reading is taken from Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. For all who rely on the works of the Lord are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's so lovely to be with you, to be joining you again. The last two occasions I've come, as I have been invited to preach, we've been just about to go into lockdown. So it's really nice to be with you with the prospect that we're actually going to be coming out of it. Isn't that an exciting prospect? Anyway, before we go any further, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God who speaks to us. Please speak to us now by your Holy Spirit and through your word, and help each one of us to take to heart what you are saying to us. Amen. Well, do you ever come up against difficult things in life and wonder whether God has left you on your own or abandoned you? Maybe you struggle with opposition to your faith in your family or amongst friends or at work, and you wonder what God is doing. Or maybe things are hard due to illness. Perhaps it's homeschooling, your job or relationship or something else. Or maybe God just feels far away from you. In some of these situations, you may find yourself thinking, what is God doing? What is he up to? Is he active? Does he want what's best for me? It can be really hard. Well, our passage today, as Katie has really brilliantly outlined already, speaks to this. In it, we see God was working for the Israelites, even though they could not see it. And that's our first point. God is working for our blessing. Have I got the right one? Yes, I have. God is working for our blessing, even when we do not see it. Now, picture the scene in a James Bond film or an Alex Rider type spy film, when the bad guys are plotting about how they're going to get rid of the hero. The hero isn't actually in this scene. The arch baddie is there sitting down, stroking his white cat, and he orders one of his nasty team to go and kill the hero. Well, that's sort of what is going on here. King Balak is like the arch baddie plotting to kill the Israelites. The Israelites, as Katie again has already said, had just got to a place called Moab. And the king of Moab, King Balak, is terrified. The Israelites have just defeated the Amorites, and now King Balak thinks the same is about to happen to him and his people. He knows he's not powerful enough to defeat the Israelites, and so he decides to try and get a prophet, the prophet, as we saw again, called Balaam, to put a curse on them. Well, what is a curse? Well, a curse is what you did to your enemy. In ancient times, you'd go to your god, often with some kind of offering to encourage the god, and you'd ask them to do something nasty to your enemy. And King Balak seems to have heard that Balaam was a good person to go to if you wanted to curse your enemy. And so he sends messengers to him with, again, as we saw, with a load of money. Well, the Israelites didn't know that that was what King Balak was trying to do. Again, Katie explained that so clearly. They didn't know that was what King Balak was trying to do. They had no idea he was trying to get, that King Balak was trying to get Balaam to put a curse on them. And what's more, the Israelites had no idea what God was doing to stop Balak. King Balak's messengers turn up to see Balaam. God then speaks to Balaam and says, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on these people because they are blessed. And the problem is that Balaam, again, as Katie explained, is actually quite keen to have the money. And so he persists, but God stops him. Imagine making a film of this. Israel is over here in one scene, and what is going on with Balak and Balaam and God is over here in another scene. We don't know what the Israelites were thinking at that moment. It was a hard time for them. They had no settled land to live in. They defeated the Amorites, but what about the Moabites? Would the Moabites attack them? Would they defeat them this time? And what was God doing? Had he forgotten them? Well, our passage shows us that God had not only not forgotten them, but he was working for them, protecting them, making sure they were blessed and not cursed. Are there times when you feel a bit like the Israelites might have done, on your own, wondering what the future holds and wondering where God is? Perhaps you're worried about going back to school, worried about seeing people again that you haven't seen for a long time and wondering what God is up to. Perhaps you're someone, perhaps you or someone you love has lost their job and the outlook is uncertain. Well, this passage from Numbers teaches us that God is there and he's working for our blessing, even when we do not see it. In fact, it's even better than that. God is there and working for our blessing even before we are aware of a problem. That's astonishing, really, isn't it, when you think about it? What do we do then when we're in the midst of something difficult and we're wondering what God is doing? We need to come back to parts of the Bible like this, which tell us that he is at work all the time for our good, even when we don't see it. This account of Balak, Balaam and God teaches us to trust in him. But more than that, we need to come back to the cross, where God supremely worked for our blessing by dying for our sins. Paul writes in the Romans, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? There are times when we need to say to ourselves, he is there. He is working for my blessing. I know that because of what he has done for me in Jesus. And then we cry out to him in prayer. And the wonderful thing is that nothing will stop God blessing his people. And that's my second point. Nothing will stop God blessing his people. God is utterly determined to bless his people. You might remember that he promised Abraham back early on in Genesis, he promised Abraham that he'd bless Abraham and his descendants. In fact, he said that Abraham's descendants would number more than the stars in the sky. And right at the beginning of this chapter, we are told that there were now loads of Israelites. God was keeping his promise. In fact, it was that very blessing which caused King Balak such a headache. This horde of Israelites had turned up on his doorstep, threatening his very existence. And King Balak desperately wanted to reverse that blessing. And he tried to do it by getting Balaam to put the curse on the Israelites. But nothing will stop God blessing his people. Balak's messengers arrive at Balaam's place, bringing lots of money and a request for him to curse the Israelites. And in verse 12, God tells Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. Through our passage, King Balak keeps being told by Balaam, no, God won't curse Israel. But he doesn't seem to understand no. He sends more important people to Balaam with even more money to get him to do what he wants. He doesn't get that he's dealing with the God of the universe. Only God has the power to do the sort of blessing and cursing which King Balak wants. And the answer is a firm no. But Balaam doesn't get it either. He just cannot resist the money, as Katie explained so well. He goes back to God just in case God might change his mind. Every time we see Balaam doing something, it tends to be something ambiguous about it. As Katie illustrated, sometimes you look at it, you know, on the face of it, it looks good, but actually we know that his motives were very mixed. So he goes back to God just in case God might change his mind, curse the Israelites, and then he would get the money and be rich. And it's at this point that Balaam gets on his poor donkey. Now, until Shrek, none of us had encountered talking donkeys. If you know the film, this is actually Shrek 2, but if you know the film, you'll know the scene when Donkey meets Princess Fiona. That's in the first Shrek. And the conversation goes something like this. Donkey, hi, Princess. Fiona, it speaks. I'm not going to try and do the accents, by the way. Fiona, it speaks. Shrek, yes, it's getting him to shut up. That's the real trick. When a donkey is a fictional character, some might say sadly. But what about a talking donkey in the Bible? Isn't that just fiction too? Isn't it just make-believe? Well, the answer is no. The God who created the universe, the odd God who is infinitely powerful and creative, is able to give a donkey the ability to speak. And in fact, God deliberately chooses a donkey. These are animals which are proverbial. They're renowned for being stubborn and stupid. And the point is this. This stubborn and stupid creature had more spiritual insight than both Balaam and Balak. You see, nothing will stop God blessing his people. Full stop. With man-made pagan gods, the idea was that you paid your money to get what you wanted. You were supposed to be able to manipulate them with gifts and big sacrifices. Man-made pagan gods were supposed to be open to persuasion, to changing sides, but not so the God of Israel. He is faithful. He loves his people with a love which greatly exceeds the love a good husband has for his wife. He is constant and faithful. Nothing will stop him blessing his people. And three times the donkey stopped before the angel. And on the third time, Balaam lost his temper. Three times Balaam refuses to do what Balak wants. And on the third time, Balak loses his temper. And we read in chapter 24, verse 10, a bit later on in Numbers, then Balak's anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to him, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you've blessed them. These three times, Balak had done his best to curse Israel, but instead Israel was blessed. Nothing will stop God blessing his people. And we all know those times in life, though, when things are tough. It's hard when we're in the midst of it. But God's determination to bless us will not be stopped by the things we face in life. There will be times when we may well feel like we've been cursed, but none of the relationships, the hardships we endure will stop us from receiving God's blessing if we continue with Jesus. God is infinitely bigger than our problems. In our passage from the book of Numbers, we see God working to prevent King Balak from depriving Israel of a blessing. And in the New Testament, we see the great lengths God is prepared to go to prevent us being deprived of his blessing. It involved him coming down to earth and giving his life for us. And that is how far God is prepared to go. Nothing will stop God blessing his people. And that's the significance of the passage from Galatians, which we had read to us. God's law is a good thing, but when people like you and me disobey it, we come under a curse. Think for a moment about the law against murder. That law is a good thing. But the moment someone murders someone else, it's as though the law curses them. It demands they be punished. None of us keeps God's law as we should. None of us loves God or others as we should. And so the law wants to put us under a curse. Now, our position would be utterly hopeless if it wasn't for the fact that nothing will stop God blessing his people. And so God did what it took to deal with the curse on us. He came to earth. He kept the law. He took our sins upon himself. He was cursed in our place so that we could be blessed. And that's the point of verse 13 in our Galatians reading. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. So let's return to the question we asked at the outset. Do you ever come up against difficult things in life and wonder whether God has left you on your own or abandoned you? Well, have confidence. God is working for your blessing, even when you don't see it. And that blessing is the blessing we have in Jesus. God is working for that, even though you and I can't always see it. But have confidence too that nothing will stop God blessing his people. Whatever you face, if you are trusting in Jesus, nothing will stop you being blessed by God. By sending his son Jesus to die for you and me, God has shown the lengths to which he's prepared to go to ensure that we are blessed. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we praise you that you are working for our blessing in Christ, even when we do not see it. And we thank you that nothing will stop you from blessing your people in Christ. May these truths strengthen our faith, and may they cause us to rejoice in you more and more day by day. And we ask this for your glory. Amen.